you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2196, Wine Works LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to allow for amendments to conditions of approval for conditional use number 2127, ordinance number 2600, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 25.60 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Blackwater Road, approximately 1,007 feet north of Burbage Road. The 911 address is 32512 Blackwater Road, Frankfurt. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 11, Parcel 53. Staff and note, we had agency comments and an exhibit booklet submitted for the record as this application. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commission members. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This evening, I am representing Wineworks LLC, the entity that owns the land on which the Salted Vines Vineyard and Winery is located along Blackwater Road outside of Frankfurt. With me, sitting to my left, and right behind me and to your right, is Adrian Mobilia. He's one of the principals of the winery, the other principal being his wife, Jessica, who is not with us here this evening. As Ms. Cornwell just indicated when she read the application into the record, tonight's application seeks to amend a conditional use 2127 that was granted by County Council in September of 2018. I'm sure many of the members of the Commission who were here in May of 2018 will recall the public hearing for this application when it appeared before you at that time. As you may recall, the Planning Commission recommended approval of the conditional use with six conditions identified, as is the typical practice of the Planning Commission, as conditions A through F in that recommendation. There is a healthy academic debate that could be engaged in regarding the relationship of uses authorized by the Delaware Code for agricultural purposes, uses allowed by a person who has a farm winery license issued by the Delaware Alcohol, Beverage, and Control Commission, and of course the interrelationship of those things with the Sussex County Code. I'm sure to everyone's delight we won't engage in that academic debate this evening. For one of those items, the DABCC, you'll see in the exhibit notebook that was submitted at tab 7, there's a letter from Mr. Cordry to Mr. Moore, the county attorney, regarding uses that the DABCC finds to be included within the granting of a farm winery license, which is an agriculturally based liquor license. Turning a little bit away from that somewhat esoteric subject, when the Planning Commission made its recommendation last May, the six conditions that the Commission recommended at that time were what I would refer to as general parameters and general zoning and land use type principles, which were understandable by my client, and I would submit the flip side of that coin, correspondingly understandable by the planning and zoning staff, who of course gets charged ultimately with the enforcement of the conditions of any conditional use. As the Commission may recall, Mr. Mobilia presented the application himself, and there was nobody here in opposition to the application. Just like that public hearing, he presented the application to County Council a few weeks later, and once again, there was no one in opposition to the proposed conditional use. However, when County Council went to issue its decision, it did not entirely follow the wisdom of this body, but instead redrafted several of the conditions and then added several new conditions. And ultimately, as conditional use 2127 was approved, it now has 10 conditions, or conditions A through J, as they are identified. Those 10 conditions are set forth in the exhibit notebook and, of course, are in the record. If you were to look at tab 4, that is the letter from Ms. Cornwell to the applicant identifying what the conditions were that were ultimately approved by County Council, and of course the next steps in the process, which is, of course, as this body is aware, the presentation of a preliminary site plan with the goal of ultimately achieving final site plan approval. In short, there appeared to be confusion about several things at County Council. I'm going to give several examples of those. I think many of them relate to one term, but the first example was there's a condition placed limiting events to the first 1,284 feet of the site. The reason that this is somewhat curious or odd is that there's a limitation placed on the number of people who can be at an event. And so regardless of sort of what the location is, that type of a condition would indicate that maybe there was concern there was going to be enormous events there. However, there's a limitation on the number of people that can attend an event, so a limitation as to location seemed curious. When you look at what's on the screen around the rooms is the proposed revised site plan. You can see that the property actually consists of sort of a back parcel. And that area would be excluded from the where events can occur under the County Council's ordinance, and drawn on there on the screens around the room, you can see where that limitation is. And part of the expansion that's proposed on the site plan, of course, includes a building that would be bifurcated by the line. Another curiosity of that is if we were to switch to an aerial image of this, and that there is one in the exhibit notebook, you will see that area is where there are large parcels that are largely agricultural or wooded. And so a great argument could be made that would be a better location to have events. It's further away from any of the local agricultural or local residential uses of houses across the street and such. So prohibiting uses in that was curious. And the other term which comes and appears in those conditions is the term event. An event is an undefined term. I think it's one of those things that if we attended an event, we would know what it was. But trying to place a specific definition on that is a very difficult thing to do. For example, can a hayride occur on the back portion, the portion that I've circled in red? Is that an event at the winery if it is an event, then of course it would be prohibited based upon the condition that was granted by or approved by County Council. Similarly, can a tent be erected on that back portion for a pop-up dinner where people go out there to enjoy a dinner out in an agricultural area? When vines are ultimately planted back there, as is the long-range goal, if there are educational events and educational tours, is that an event that would be prohibited from occurring on that back portion? Another oddity, as I will call it, in the conditions imposed by council was, despite the fact that there was a lack of complaints or anybody who showed up in opposition, there was a series of events that are associated with specific times and dates as to when those can occur. In lieu of that, events have to be concluded by 10:30 across the board, no matter what the event or activity happens to be, it is concluded at that time. There was no, for lack of a better term, no rhyme or reason or meaningful distinction assigned as to why certain things had to occur on these certain days within these certain times either the record before the County Council or in the condition that was placed on it itself. The further perplexing that question was the addition in the second condition of limitations on time for, and I'm going to read it, concert type events for which there is a charged admission. Not exactly sure what a concert type event for which there's a charged admission is, but it certainly seems like something that if somebody wanted to, certainly the owners could be very creative and just not charge an admission, which I think would mean that there is no time limit or days upon which those things could occur, which Mr. Robertson would tell me probably if I were to ask him that was not the intention of that. But again, creating those gray areas is what occurred in the conditions that were added by council.
Mr. Robertson also did not draft these particular conditions. I'll leave it at that.
I want to give the, I'm going to take this moment right now and give the rest of the commission the benefit of my long years of experience here. Typically, what we have here is we have conditions that we came up with. County Council essentially redid the whole thing. Okay? So the conditions they're dealing with now are County Council's conditions. Generally and historically in this setting, we have dealt with conditions we created, but we have left conditions created by County Council for them to deal with. In this situation, though, we may want to take a different route. We'll see. But I just want you to know that typically we don't do much amending of conditions that were set by County Council. We generally consider amendments to conditions that we set. In this instance, our conditions are no longer recognizable in the motion that was passed, so maybe we just deal with what's in front of us. We'll see, but just wanted you to have that perspective, that this is a rather unusual situation. Sorry about that, Mr. Hunt. I just had to get that off my chest.
No problem. The two more conditions that, while I'm pointing out curiosities, that's my politically correct term for them, is one of them states that agricultural activities allowed by the Delaware Code on the farms are permitted. That's an interesting condition because I would say Delaware law would dictate that that's exactly what can occur. The other one is there was a condition placed about obtaining a fire marshal regulation and rating for the building. And that condition had been fulfilled 2 years prior to the application being in front of a council. And again, that's the confusion that I think I referenced at the outset of my presentation that council seemed to experience in deciding this matter. I think it's also important to note that from the very beginning of this matter, the startup of this farm winery and through this very amendment process that we're here on this evening, Wineworks has always sought to be in compliance at every turn with the requirements of the Sussex County Code. When the application was originally presented to this body as well as the council, Mr. Mobilia, as part of his presentation, went through the steps that led him to seek the initial conditional use. I'm going to run through them really quickly here, but I think they demonstrate the attempts to comply at every step in this process. In March of 2016, this commission reviewed a preliminary site plan for a Delaware farm winery. In May of 2016, the final site plan was approved for the farm winery. In November of 2016, a certificate of occupancy was issued and salted vines issued. Of course, that November of 2016 is what I was just referring to as when the fire marshal would have given the rating for the building. Much prior to there even being an application filed for a conditional use. In September of 2017, my client was notified that some uses were not permitted on an AR1 property. That's that healthy academic debate that I referenced at the outset about distinguishing between Delaware Code, liquor licenses for farm wineries, and the Sussex County Code. That discussion between my client and largely Ms. Cornwell resulted in a conditional use application being filed in December of 2017. That conditional use 2127 was ultimately granted by County Council in September of 2018. And then Salted Vines went through the rest of that process and submitted a preliminary site plan in compliance with that conditional use, which was ultimately approved as a final site plan in January of 2019 and can be found as tab 5 in your exhibit notebooks. I included in the exhibit notebook not only those things, but also the minutes from each of those to sort of document and encapsulate in one place the history of this matter. And I think I did this for two primary reasons. First, and at no turn of events, and I'm going to jinx myself this evening, at no turn of events has there been an objection to the Salted Vines Vineyard and Winery. And secondly, because this is not a business that's owning The owners are not scofflaws who are seeking to find ways to manipulate the code here and figure out some way to get away with something that might not be permitted. It's the opposite of that. At every step, they've sought to comply. When asked to file a conditional use, they did, presented it, and went through that process. If that wasn't enough, as part of this process, in meeting with Mr. Mobile, he indicated that he knew that he would have resounding support from his neighbors if he went and asked. He asked me to prepare a petition that he could sit down with his neighbors and discuss with them about what his plans were for the property. He did that, and you saw that in your exhibit notebooks, the petition. It is prepared by me, and he took it to people to have it signed when he explained to them. Magenta or pink or purple, whatever color that is. As you can see, the site is in sort of the middle of that, where Ms. Cornwell has the cursor. Mr. Mobile went to his neighbors, and the folks in the magenta color have signed and agreed that the conditions should be modified. Again, that's just further support that there has not been opposition to this, and in fact, it's well liked and regarded, and neighbors visit this place on a regular basis and have their own events, if I'm going to use that term, or activities at the site. The great news, I think, for Sussex County is that this business, which combines agriculture and tourism, two highlights and hallmarks of Sussex County, continues to grow, which is why the site plan needs to be modified to undertake that growth. The changes to the site plan, very quickly, are the addition of an agricultural building behind the existing building, additional vines in that general area, and then hopefully a new activities or events, wedding event type building near the rear of the property, as you can see. So those are the three changes to the site plan. As you can see, there is hope that in the future there would be vines up in the area that is encircled by red as well. Unfortunately, of course, we're here this evening because the net result of the additional conditions that were imposed by County Council is something that is difficult to understand by my client, and I suspect would be difficult to enforce by Ms. Cornwell and her staff. As the age-old adage or poem states, good fences make good neighbors, and I would say likewise, a set of clear, meaningful conditions on a conditional use would make compliance with that conditional use, and if necessary, enforcement of the conditional use, much simpler, and allow for the Salted Farms Winery to continue to be a good neighbor and a good citizen of Sussex County. For all of these reasons, Wineworks requests that the Planning Commission recommend adoption of the modified conditions. Frankly, my client's preference would be that the conditions resort back to the conditions that were proposed or recommended by this body in May of 2018. And for the reasons that Mr. Wheatley indicated a few moments ago when he spoke, instead, we tried to work within the confines and the construct of the conditions that were imposed by County Council and tried to edit and refine those rather than just scrap them and return to the Planning Commission's recommendations. That concludes my presentation this evening, and myself and my client are certainly ready to answer any questions that the Commission or staff may have.
All right, Mr. Hunt, we appreciate your presentation, and we'll see if anyone has any questions or comments or discussion. We'll start with them.
Well, you answered my first one because I was looking at their conditions, and I didn't understand the fire marshal requirement either because I assumed that since you have a business there running that had already been taken care of, so thank you for that. And you cleared up what the difference is on the site plan now from what we had before us. I read through a lot of those names, and honestly, for the support letter, I didn't realize some of those properties connected to the property, reading the names, and they clearly do. I saw that on the magenta map as well. So I think, you know, you're obviously good neighbors. So I don't have any questions about any of it. Thank you.
All Okay, Mr. Mears?
No, I don't have any questions. I think the site plan pretty well spells it out along with Mr. Hutt's presentation. I don't understand this county council's conditions they came up with.
No questions.
I have none.
Ms. Cornwell, any questions?
None, thank you.
Counselor?
None, thanks.
Okay, I don't have any questions, but I do have a couple thoughts I want to share with the commission. Mr. Hopkins did said something that did make me maybe reflect on this a little bit. And just thinking about what was going on at the time when county council was considering this, with this whole discussion about events in general and so on.
I was going to say the same thing, it was sort of in that context.
I think that they may just have seized upon this particular application and tried to address some of their other concerns through this application. I'm thinking that I would prefer to recommend that they revert back to the conditions we set.
That's what I was thinking.
And let them have at it again if they want, because it's their prerogative, it's their final decision. You do have a different council now, it's a slightly different group. And I think if they were to revisit the conditions we proposed in the in light of where we are today, this group might reach a different conclusion than the last group did, and I'm thinking we should give them the opportunity to do that.
I agree.
Can I ask one question to Mr. Hutt on that?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to come to the microphone? It looked like there was some minor revisions between the original Planning and Zoning Commission recommendations for conditions and what you proposed. Are they identical, or I just, if there's anything that can be improved upon based on what you submitted, I don't want to revert back to planning and zoning and miss those.
Miss something.
Yeah.
Miss something.
You know, they look like they're nearly identical. I just didn't know if there was any wording that would be tripped up. Okay. I mean, and if you're fine going back to the original.
Mr. Hutt, if you would like a few minutes to consider that, we can take public testimony and then we can come back to you if you like.
I appreciate that offer because I wrote those some time ago, so to go back and forth at the moment is...
I went back and forth, and there wasn't much...
It's a little extra pressure there.
We'll come back to you. I think your
client
has something to say.
Yes.
I just need to...
We need to go, unless you're talking to him.
I can talk to him. Okay. I could ask him, and he could ask you, or I could come
on. Either way you want to do it.
If they do his approach, does that separate the addition, the farm building, and the developer being... So does it all get... I guess I'm confused as to, are we separating this into two issues, or is it still one?
Still one.
It'll all be one property.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2196 Wine Works LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2196? Well, Mr. Hutt, that wasn't as many minutes as I thought. We could invite Mr. Byer to come up and tell a few jokes.
No. No.
No.
I've heard Mr. Byer's jokes.
Well, that reminds me of a story that I'll share with you later. Most of this humor is of a visual nature, but
we'll leave it at that. Let's move along.
Mr. Hutt.
I think that it would be fine. There was no new concepts that we were trying to capture or I think enhance. The key was, and what made it difficult when I was trying to go back and is what I said, I think near the end, we tried to stay within the confines and figure out a way to give it a haircut here or there. And that was difficult to do, frankly. And the original six conditions, My client has always felt, I think he actually had a hand in helping propose some of those at the hearing, that those general parameters established good land use and police type requirements that the county has through its land use process and zoning code. So that's a long answer to say I think that's fine.
we'll take that under advisement. Okay, and anyone else in the commission have any further questions or comments?
The only one it looks like, just when I was looking at it talks about, in what Mr. Hutt proposed, it referenced the, I don't have the exact language because I've got to flip back and forth, but the agritourism type uses, but what the commission proposed back in, whenever it was, 2018, actually was broader than that. It just talked about, entertainment and, food and beverage service and music or similar entertainment being permitted. So it's actually broader than even, I don't think you need to get into that whole agritourism thing, is my point.
I agree.
So I think it works. I just didn't want to get tripped up between the two, that's all.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Okay, being none, we'll close the public hearing. I'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to make a decision, or you may wish to call the office.